Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, this is Kongsong with Believe in SDSU Basketball here on the Believe Podcast Network, a place with a show for every team in San Diego and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? This episode, we're going to break down and recognize the juniors on the team and what type of roles or futures they have in the upcoming season. So, without further ado, here we go. And before we begin, if you have any questions, please feel free to drop a comment in the podcast episode note subscription box thingy on iTunes, or just drop me a message on NASJNAK on Instagram. You can also comment on any of the social media posts for SDSU Basketball on at Believe Sports. Love to hear what you guys think, talk about the Aztecs, and hopefully build off of this really successful season. But we'll go get right into it. We'll start with the men's team. We'll go in numerical order. So wearing number 4 for the men this season was Trey Pulliam. This was a guy who I was really impressed with this year. His composure and poise off the bench was what stood out the most to me. And to better understand that, I think it really helps explain the experience that he gained playing 2 seasons in a junior college. Typically for me, what that means to me is just the willingness to continue to keep playing for that dream. You know, just because you're in a junior college, a lot of people might scoff at that or think that you're not quite ready or will be ever ready for D1 basketball. But here's this guy who took 2 years in junior college and it paid off. And now he's a key player off the bench for an Aztec team that was the last in the country to be undefeated and number 6 in the nation. You know, his journey is similar to, you know, those people in high school you were friends with that took the junior college route. Hey, I want to save money and I want to go to a great school in town, but it's too expensive right now, but I still want to go. So I can spend 2 years, work hard, save some money, and transfer in. And, you know, I'll admit, 17 years old, you sold the dream of going to a good school right away is the best way. Just get in, get your 4 years, and get out. And you tell yourself, or you're also told, that if you go this junior college or alternative route, there's a chance you might just be a lifer in a junior college. There's a lot of risk involved. What if you don't get in? Then what? And blah, blah, blah. And sure, I mean, those are all legitimate reasons, but you always have those boys and girls who are very adamant about going to a college. And I witnessed that. A lot of my friends from high school took the junior college route and went to a university that they really liked. And now they're happy and they don't have as much debt and they still have the degree that says that they graduated from their dream school. And that's sort of what Trey's basketball journey so far reminds me of. I mean, every time he was on the court, you can really see a particular energy that wasn't too rushed, but also wasn't lackadaisical. It reminds me of a time where, I'm not saying that I play like Trey Pulliam or that Trey Pulliam plays like me, but there was a time after a game where, you know, you lose, it sucks, and the car ride home is typically very quiet. And my dad just, you can kind of tell, you know, parents sort of have a deep inhale, like, but nothing comes out. And so you can tell they're sort of trying to formulate the words in their mind before they really say it. So after about three or four of those, you just kind of hear my dad go, well, look, you didn't play well, but you definitely didn't make the team worse when you're on the court. And at first you're just sort of like, wow, thanks. That's literally not a compliment at all. But, you know, the older you get, and hindsight being 20/20, what you realize is a lot of it has to do with energy, how you enter a workplace or a room or a competition or whatever the thing that you're getting into. There's a certain aura of energy that surrounds that environment, and you can walk in and think that you own the place and stink it up. You can think that you're the worst and stink it up that way. Or you can walk in, embrace it for what it is, put your own little remix to it, but don't put too much into it and don't take too much out of it. And that helps actually steady the ship. And that's what Trey does a lot. You know, he has a couple of great moves. His handle is getting there and he can get to the rim relatively easily. But if he gets a more consistent jumper and is able to knock more down from three, given the fact that KJ is graduating, we're assuming Malachi goes pro, there's going to be this starting minutes spot, or at least minutes equal to a starter that's up for grabs. And I think Trey really has a good chance at getting that. I mean, he can turn into a great playmaker and great point guard. So I'm really optimistic about Trey's future. And speaking of optimistic, Mr. Matt Mitchell, we're number 11. This was sort of his breakout year. He had an incredible body transformation from sophomore to junior year. He's been with the Aztecs from the very beginning. Looking at past articles from the San Diego Union Tribune, you see that he was rumored to be as heavy as 260 pounds. And sounds like a lot even for somebody with a 6'6 frame. And now you look at the website or the Aztec site and it says he's 225. And I'm 30 years old. And as of this recording on a Sunday night, in about 2.5 months, I've lost about 8 pounds and I feel phenomenal. This guy in maybe about twice as much time lost about like 4 times as much weight. I mean, it's incredible what he was able to do. And losing the weight isn't necessarily difficult. I mean, I'm sure you know somebody that does it all the time, whether it's getting ready for, you know, Vegas or the summer season or whatever. It's the ability to keep it off throughout the year. And you really got to see him benefit from that. Oftentimes, he was a top scoring option when the offense was a little stagnant. He would, at times, get off to a really hot start in the second half, and that really helped cut the lead significantly right away, like snap of a finger, or build the lead from 7 to 16, and then you just kind of put them away. So Matt was, outside of Malachi, the most important Aztec this year. And because of the body transformation, he was still able to maintain a lot of the strength. And so even though he's 6'6", he was able to hold his own whenever he got switched onto bigs. So I definitely see him being a number one scoring option for the Aztecs next year. He might not be the top playmaker. He might not get the buckets in the same way that Malachi will get them. But you look at all his numbers, skyrocketed upward. His field goal percentage from his sophomore year last year went from 40.5% to 46.8%, 3-point shooting went from 32.8% to 39.3%. Free throw went from 75.5% to 87.3%. I mean, he really worked hard. And the lighter frame has, you know, benefited him in so many ways. And that's not to mention he's probably had the Aztecs, of all the Aztecs, the dunk of the year against New Mexico, where he cocked it back. And I genuinely still don't know to this day how he was able to dunk it. If you don't know what that is, just YouTube it. It is incredible. And it ends with a shot to Bill Walton, who's just kind of smiling year to year. So it kind of ties in the highlight perfectly. He's definitely cut down on his turnovers. He's increased his offensive game. If there's any particular knack that I would say he would need to work on, is I feel like in seasons past when he's bigger, he is able to sort of brace the physical nature of post play a little bit better. And now that he's a little lighter and quicker on his feet, I've noticed him having a tendency to sort of try and reach around post entry passes and sort of try to get into passing lanes where he, because of the significant loss from one season to another, maybe he feels like he's a guard, like he's a cage, and he could certainly move like that at times, but it's not always the case, and he gets into foul trouble quite a bit in that regard. But that's just, at this point, splitting hairs. We're going to go ahead and move forward to number 20 on the Aztecs, Jordan Shackle from Torrance, California, where I went to elementary and middle school, so shout out to Torrance. He's also been somebody that's been with the Aztecs from the very beginning, and he's just a flat-out shooter. Over 40% from three. A couple of the highlights you can see of his online is his high school alma mater, Bishop Montgomery, with him in tow, leading the team, upset Marvin Bagley's Sierra Canyon in the CIF playoffs, I think it's 2018, 2017. So that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool resume builder, if I say so myself. But I think with him, we had so many playmakers and a big who was also able to spread the floor that he was able to benefit off of that with a lot of catch and shoot threes and catch and shoot jumpers. I don't know. I'm not saying that he doesn't have it in his game. We just didn't really see it this year because he didn't need to do it. But next year, I think, will involve a lot more creating space for himself. Caught two dribbles, step backs, or increasing his conditioning to be able to catch and shoot, run and shoot off of curls, down screens, pin screens, zippers, whatever you want to call it, flex screens, there's a lot of things, flares. With those certain types of players gone, I just don't know how those elements will be in play next year. So there is a good chance that Jordan will have to find more creative ways to shoot. And I think there will be a greater percentage of his shots coming off the dribble compared to this year when it was mostly catch and shoot. But he's still very dangerous in transition. He's the guy that you have guys flying to the rim and he just kind of comes in the background. And if you're not paying attention, he's going to be there and he's definitely going to make it. And to round out the junior class, this is definitely somebody that's not going to come back next year, is Malachi Flynn, who wore number 22. He was Mr. Do-It-All this year. I wouldn't say soft spot, but I know that there is a long line of hoopers, particularly guards from the state of Washington, which he is from. He played 2 years at Washington State before he transferred over to SCSU. And one thing that the state of Washington basketball has in common with all these guards is just their ability to go get buckets. I mean, you have most notably Jamal Crawford, you have Nate Robinson, Zach LaVine, to name a few. And he's just another one of those guys. He would put up a silent box score, meaning you just watch the game, and if you had to predict how many points Malachi would have or how many assists Malachi would have, it's often less than what he really output or really produced. And that's because there's no frills to his game. He just goes to work, gets the buckets, and goes home. I mean, this guy has a myriad of dribbles, and he does really well with big men like Yanni. And he played really well with Yanni this year. He has great footwork, has great handles, and he sees the court really well. So he is definitely somebody I would say is somebody who likes to get his teammates involved first, which makes him a lot more dangerous, a la Steve Nash, in the sense that, you know, you go through the motions of an offense. Obviously, before every game, you're going to know what the team has. And you have somebody that's going to look for other people. So your initial instinct is to make sure that everybody is covered and everybody is not at their spots, so that the playmaker can't get everybody else going. But the secondary thought then is to stop the playmaker from scoring. And when somebody can score like the way Malachi can, to have him, to have like the defense think, oh, stop Malachi from scoring, as the second to have Malachi stop distributing the ball, that's dangerous, because now he can beat you off the dribble. He can get the pick and roll going. He can just sort of pass and go to the corner and let the offense roll, and he'll be open for a shot. I mean, there's a lot of ways that he can really hurt opposing teams. And he's money from the free throw line. And he's extremely, extremely good at playing against the big man downhill against the pick and roll. He can do anything he wants to get to any spot on the court in that scenario. I think that's why he played so well off of Yanni. And it's something that I don't see kids do a lot these days, let alone even NBA players. But those games where his shot wasn't falling, he was very quickly to try and figure out what else he could do to get other, to make his, what am I trying to say? Even if his shot wasn't falling, he was willing to find out what other parts of the game he can make an impact in, whether it's rebounding, whether it's defense. He was very good at just making sure he had an impact in one way, shape, or another. And he led the conference in assist turnover ratio, second team AP All-American. He's currently projected to be a second round pick. And we all know what happens with, you know, certain second round picks. They might get overlooked from small schools. I am very, very confident. I don't think this is much of a hot take, but he will be on an NBA roster next season. Book it, hands down. Stamp it, notary it, throw everything else away, because we can't, so we can't override it and mail it, because it's going to happen. And then moving forward to the women's team, there are three more juniors. We're going to start with number 5, Tia Adams, a reserve guard. She improved her free throw percentage dramatically, 59.4% last season and now 74.3% this season. She can get to the cup, and she doesn't jump high, but she can jump far. So her takeoff point is a little different than what you might expect. And as a defender, that's kind of hard to gauge, especially if they can jump far. That means they're coming at your body a lot quicker. If you jump too late, that's a foul. If you jump too early, she's going to just float right past you. So that takeoff point really takes a little bit getting used to. This season, she had a season high 18 points against UNLV. And for all of the talk that I had, where I kept emphasizing that the girls would need to finish games with more assists and turnovers, she's one of the players that actually finished the entire season with more assists and turnovers. So shout out to Tia. She has grabbed 100 rebounds in each of the last two seasons, which is great for a reserve guard. I think that she'll get a little bit more opportunities this upcoming year with Taylor gone, and hopefully she can look to capitalize on that. We'll move forward to number 24, Kiara Edwards, a reserve forward from Surprise, Arizona. Great name for a city. Kiara was part of the highest ranked recruiting class for SDSU a couple years ago. And with four seniors leaving, that should open up some more opportunities for her. She only averaged 4 minutes a game this season, but a great offseason can open up a lot of opportunities, especially with the credentials that she had during her recruiting coming into SDSU. We definitely know that the skill is there, that the talent is there. So hopefully we'll see what she does with the opportunity. And to round out the junior class, last but certainly not least, Naomi Ikwidiki, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong, I probably am, number 45. She's been struggling through some injuries the first couple of years. I know she had a medical redshirt, I think, for between her freshman and sophomore year. So she's just played spot minutes throughout the season, but she's a 6'6 post presence. So I'm just really hopeful to see what a healthy postseason can do. A healthy offseason can do for her. I'm curious to see what that can mean for the Lady Aztecs, just because when I was in school and practicing against the likes of Jessica Bradley and Paris Johnson, who are both 6'5 post players, that changed the entire dynamic of the team. If you have somebody you can throw into the post or even protect the rim, that frees the guards to really be aggressive out on the wings, jump passing lanes, try to attack. Because you know, if you get beat backdoor, if you get beat to the rim, you have somebody there to help clean up any mistakes. So, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood, that Naomi is going to be healthy and ready for next year. And those are the six juniors for the Aztecs this season. We'll see what happens. Good luck to Malachi in advance during the NBA draft. I'm very hopeful to see he'll be on a team that I like to root for. If you like the show, please rate and subscribe to us on iTunes. We're available wherever podcasts can be found. You can find us at Believe.com and at Believe Podcasts. We also have a new Instagram specifically catered towards the sports podcast at Believe Sports. Feel free to shout out and message on any post there, or feel free to message me at NASGNAK on Instagram. If you're interested on, If you're interested in advertising on this show, please contact us at believe.com. The upcoming episode, we'll dig into the sophomores and then the freshmen and then the upcoming class. So, within a couple weeks' time, we'll be ready to expect or ready to know what's going to happen next year, or ready to, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think it's time to go. I hope everybody's doing well. I hope everybody's being safe. I hope everybody is social distancing. And until next time, go Aztecs.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.